Please stand by. Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to today's IBM iSeries Nation Citizens Chat conference call. Today's call is being recorded. At this time, for opening remarks and introductions, I would like to turn today's conference over to your host, Mr. Malcolm Haynes. Mr. Haynes, please go ahead, sir.
Thank you very much, Matt. Thank you, everyone, for joining us this morning. Today, we've got two excellent speakers. The first is Craig Johnson, who many of you know. Craig is based in Rochester, and he will be talking about the announcement that we made just 2 days ago. Seems as if we're making an announcement about every 3 weeks on this product. Anyway, this is the announcement we had this week. That'll take about 20 minutes, and immediately after Craig's presentation, Don Nagy, who's based in IBM Printing Systems Division in Boulder, Colorado, he will talk about his division's approach to iSeries output. So I'll hand over straight away to Craig. Craig, could you start, please?
Sure, Malcolm. Thank you very much, and good day, everyone. Yes, it does seem like the summer of 2004 has been the summer of announcements, and I'll be reviewing what we did announce on Tuesday. I work in the iSeries product marketing team, work a lot on AIX and Linux, which definitely this announcement pertains to, so we'll get started. I assume you have the charts. And we'll get started on page number 2, which is the IBM eServer i5 announcements that happened on the 17th. Number one thing we announced was a new server. We announced the eServer i5 550 that will be available starting on September 10th. We'll talk more about this server, but it continues our flexible on-demand strategy by providing a four-way server. We also announced a couple of new additions. As you know, we sell the i5 servers as standard or enterprise editions, and we're announcing a couple of new ones with the 550 called the Solution Edition and the Domino Edition. We'll talk more about those. And then finally, back in May, we previewed some capabilities on the new servers, and we informally announced them yesterday, and we'll be making them available at the end of August. There's some virtualization engine management tool enhancements, as well as some enhancements to our integrated X-Series solutions with a new adapter, as well as supporting Linux on that technology. So these are the three main categories of announcements we made a couple days ago, and we'll talk more about them. On chart number 3, we're starting with the 550. So the 550 is a Power 5-based server, and it provides 1, 2, 3, or 4 processors. It is a capacity-on-demand server. We'll talk more about that. It starts with one i5 OS license, and you can add more if you want. And then you have the capability of running AIX, Linux, and attaching integrated X-Series servers as well to this server. It offers similar capabilities, similar performance, as we'll see, to the 570 in that 1-to-4-way space. So, and we'll talk about that further. There are multiple editions with the 550. As I said, there's a standard and enterprise, as we've had on other servers, and we're introducing two new ones, the solution, which specifically we're working with some of our solution providers to deliver, and the Domino edition, if you want to run Domino on the 550. So this has the tremendous flexibility to run multiple environments on it and offers a significant amount of performance and performance that you can add when your demands dictate to handle additional i5 OS as well as new workloads like AIX and Linux that you want to run in your environment. It does support our partitioning and our virtualization engine technology, so you can run 10 partitions per processor or up to 40 partitions on the server. If you look on slide number 4 now, our lineup of the Power 5 servers includes the 520, which starts at the Express models at the low end of the product line with one processor in them and can be upgraded then to a two-way. The 550 starts at a one-way and maximum is a four-way server, and then the 570 one-way, maximum 16 processors in it. So the 520 is for our small computing requirements. The 550 is for customers that might want to start with the one or two processors to run their workloads and see growth, but do not see growth beyond a four-processor server. And then the 570 is for our large clients or very fast-growing clients that want to maybe start small and get very large server. All of these servers can run AIX and Linux in addition to the i5 OS operating system. On chart number 5, you see the relative performance of the server line. Across the bottom is the CPW benchmark that we use to compare the performance of our servers to each other. You can see at the bottom of the graph we have the 520s starting down there at 500 CPWs and moving up to the two-processor server. Then we see the 550 is a 1/4-way. Every 550 that we ship has four processors in it. You as a customer determine at the initial purchase how many processors you want activated, and then you can activate the additional processors at your location with capacity on demand. Either you can turn it on and off temporarily, or you can add it permanently. So this offers tremendous capability with that one processor offering over 3,000 CPWs, the full four-processor server offering 12,000 CPWs. So this is a lot of power that you can turn on to handle the workloads that are, month-end, quarter-end, year-end, or additional workloads as you maybe might be acquiring companies or just want to consolidate workload into this machine. For example, consolidating HP or Sun Unix servers or consolidating a smaller P-Series or R6000 server into this 550. And then at the top, as we previously announced, was the 570, which starts as the 1 to 2 way and then goes all the way up to the 13 to 16 way. As you can see here, the 570 in that 1 to 4 way space offers the same performance as the 550. So that in itself is not an indicator of which machine you should buy. It's more about where do you see the growth. And if you see growth and can fit in a four-way, the 550 offers a less expensive server for you to consider. So that is the 550 performance. Moving on to chart number 6, just a little bit more detail. It comes in a desk side or a rack mount option. It does use our 1.65 gigahertz Power 5 processors, just like the 520 and the 570 does. It does offer flexible on-demand pricing, as we talked to you about in July. There is one license of i5 OS provided with the servers, and then you have the option of deploying which operating system you want to use on the other three, i5 OS, AIX, 5L, or Linux. And as you can see there, it grows up to 12,000 CPW, 64 gigabytes of memory, and 38 terabytes of storage. This is quite a powerful server in a four-way packaged offering. Well, like I said, it features the standard enterprise solution and Domino additions. And what's a little bit unique about the 550 is that every addition is that second processor is activated on all additions. So if you were to buy a standard edition 550 to run i5 OS workloads, it comes with one i5 OS license, but it's going to come with two processors turned on. So you have the option then on that second processor, if you want to buy another i5 OS license, to buy a Linux license or an AIX license or some combination to run on that second processor. So all of the 550s as they ship are going to have at least two processors turned on, and then it's your choice what do you want to run on that second processor. Chart number 7 is some of the specifications of the various servers, including the 550 there in the middle. As you can see, that the memory maximum is 64 gigs. It has a couple of HSL loops. The disk drive max there is 38 terabytes. You can has a number of integrated X series servers and adapters attached there. Another point to make here is that the 550 does have a P20 software tier, so depending on which software you purchase, this might be an attractive option for you as well. either as you upgrade from previous servers or replace previous servers or just buying a new server right out. It does have a P20 software tier. There are upgrades into the 550. As we look at the next chart, on chart number 8, this is a view of the upgrades into the new eServer i5 line. We can see at the 550 specifically, you can upgrade into it from an 810 or an 825. And then on the left-hand side, you can see we can upgrade into it from an 820 or an 830. So if you currently have those kind of systems and you're looking for more capacity for i5 OS, or you're looking to simplify your infrastructure and possibly consolidate some work with Linux or AIX and need a larger server to do that, you can upgrade from those four servers into the 550. There are no upgrades from the 550 into the 570. So like I said previously, if you see growth beyond a four-way, maybe the 570 is the right server to start with. And then there are no upgrades from the 520 into the 550. So if your requirements are the 1 to 2 processor range, 520 is an excellent choice. But if you see growth beyond that 2 processors, then that's where the 550 comes in. So that is the 550 as it relates to the 520 and 570. I said we have a couple of new additions with the 550, and now I want to talk about the first one, which is on chart number 9. Which is the solution edition. So together with some of our key solution providers, we are offering a solution edition for your consideration. It is based on the 550, and it is a lower priced option than the Enterprise Edition. So this has the capability of running 5250 or online transaction processing workloads. And it's specifically designed to run the solution provider solutions. There's a specific list on the next chart. So if you are in the market to purchase a new solution from these providers or to upgrade your solution with these providers, then the solution edition might be an option that you should look at. So one of the common examples here when we've talked to other customers is they might have purchased one of the solutions 2, 3, or 4 years ago. Naturally, the solution providers come out with new releases with new functions, and those customers are interested in those new functions. They can make the purchase with the solution provider as well as getting the latest technology on their eServer i5, and this solution edition is specifically targeted for that kind of customer. So it provides the incentives for customers to update their solutions and provide the value and competitive pricing that our customers are looking for. We are, with the announcement on Tuesday, we announced the solution edition with 9 solution providers, and you can see the list here on chart number 10. So if you are an existing customer of these solution providers or looking to purchase these kind of solutions, once again, the solution edition is something that you should talk to your business partners about. On chart number 11 is the second new edition that we're announcing on the 550. It is a Domino edition. Once again, if you are looking at Domino, either as a replacement for Microsoft Exchange or for you want to consolidate maybe some Domino servers running on Intel, or you want to upgrade your Domino environment that's currently running on OS 400, the 550 Domino Edition might be applicable for you. This is a lower price variant of the Standard Edition, so it offers, once again, financial incentives if you want to purchase Domino. On chart number 12 is some of the more specifics. So it is based on the 550. It does come with 2 active processors and 2 i5 OS licenses, and it can support a large number of Domino users, as you see there, over 14,000 mail and calendaring users rating on the 2-way processor. If you are have purchased or want to purchase the Domino licenses, both the server and the client licenses that are required to for this Domino edition, you can receive over 40%, or can purchase that solution for less than 40% of the standard edition. So it is a attractively priced option if you are considering running Domino on the eServer i5. So those are the basically the 550 announcements and the new solution announcements. Want to turn your attention to a couple of other topics here. Back in May, we did announce that the eServer i5 was the first server to utilize the IBM Virtualization Engine technology with our partitioning and our capacity on demand and our storage virtualization capabilities. At that time, we announced a product preview of a virtualization engine service called IBM Director Multiplatform. And as you can see on chart number 13, IBM Director Multiplatform is a management tool used for i5OS, AIX, Linux, and Windows operating systems. All of these operating systems happen to run on the eServer i5, so you can use that tool to manage these or other servers in the network. IBM Director is a very popular management tool from our X Series environment, and it's been enhanced to support these additional operating environments. It can be used, for example, to take inventory of your servers in the network, and then to establish monitors, set off alerts, take automated actions. So this is a tool that complements iSeries Navigator, and it's really designed for managing multiple heterogeneous servers. It can be also integrated with our performance management iSeries or PM iSeries for collecting and reporting multiple OS CPU utilization and capacity planning. So if you have these multiple environments running on the eServer i5, this PM tool can be used to provide you the performance and capacity results on all of the operating environments. IBM Director Multiplatform is a product that will be available, like I said, with the virtualization engine services. It will be available on the various IBM servers. It will, however, be packaged differently, and the packaging on the eServer i5 and the iSeries is that if you purchase the i5OS v5R3 operating system, we will provide IBM Director Multiplatform for no additional charge. So this is a management tool that will be provided if you're an i5OS customer. Another enhancement we made to the edition structure is on chart number 14, called AIX 5L Service Voucher. So with the Enterprise Edition, as you know, we have services vouchers, and traditionally they've been for IBM and in some cases business partners to come on site to your location and maybe install Linux or install our Windows integration technology. And there's a voucher for AIX where IBM will come on site and install AIX for you. Well, with the 550 Enterprise and Solution Edition, as well as the 570 Enterprise Edition, we are enhancing this AIX services voucher. So not only will we come on site for a couple days and then set up and configure AIX and do some skills transfer, but this service voucher includes one license of AIX 5L and then 1 year of support for AIX 5L. So if you're interested in running AIX on the eServer i5, either the 550 or 570, the service voucher can be your ticket to getting the AIX 5L license as well as AIX support for 1 year. As typical with these services vouchers, the way you sign up for this is you go to the edition's website and you register for the edition, and then you basically indicate you want the AIX 5L services voucher. And then IBM representatives will be in touch with you. So that is a significant enhancement we made to our edition structure. Turning now to my last topic, we made some enhancements with our integrated X-Series servers and integrated X-Series adapters. On chart number 15 here, we're going to talk about a new integrated X-Series adapter. Adapter goes into X-Series servers and then it utilizes the high-speed link connection back to the iSeries, where the iSeries provides the storage resources for X-Series servers. As you know, we've had this technology supported on the iSeries for quite some time, and we've introduced a new integrated X-Series adapter here to basically attach new X-Series servers, and in specifically the 346. The 346 is a brand new X-Series server, as announced a couple of weeks ago, and in X-Series terminology, this is a 2U server. So U is a measurement of height. So this is a very thin server. And what we needed to do was to redesign and repackage the integrated X-Series adapter to go into this small server. The previous integrated X-Series adapter would not physically fit in this small of a server, so we had to redesign it and repackage it. And that's what we've done. So now you can purchase 346 servers from X-Series, which are 3.6 GHz Xeon up to a two-way server, and you can attach those to the iSeries and the eServer i5 servers, and we can integrate and manage those environments as well. This adapter is also used in the new 236 from X-Series, which once again is a two-way server. So we have two adapters now, one for the 236, one for the 346. The other adapter still works in the other X-Series servers. They provide the same function. Basically, they are different packaging, so they fit into these newer servers. And this technology will be supported on OS 400 and as well as i5 OS, so that works on the eServer i5 and the iSeries servers. General availability of this is August 31st. Turning to chart number 16, another enhancement that we previewed back in May that we are announcing this week is that we will support Linux on the integrated X-Series solutions. So we've been running Windows on this technology for quite some time. We've had a lot of customer requests to run Linux, so we've enabled Linux to run on the integrated X-Series solutions. Specifically, we have been testing Red Hat Enterprise Linux 3, and we've been testing that on the integrated server, the IXS, as well as with X-Series attached with the IXA. We've also been testing SUSE Linux Enterprise Server 8, and we've done this testing on the IXA. The SUSE Linux Enterprise Server 8 does not have the code required, the level of code required to run on the integrated X-Series server, so that that option will not be available. This technology will work with OS 400 V5R2 as well as the i5 OS V5R3. So this is for customers that want to support Linux Intel applications but still leverage the iSeries environment from a virtual storage technology, virtual tape and CD, and really to, you know, bring in those Linux Intel apps much like we have Windows for quite some time. It also complements our Power Linux technology. We're going to see customers running Power Linux partitions as well as running Linux here to support a specific Intel Linux application. The availability of RPTFs to support this environment will be starting on August 31st. Then the last enhancement we announced on Tuesday was the dynamic storage space unlink on chart number 17. As you know, the iSeries provides virtual storage out to these integrated servers. So you can, you know, create a storage space, 10 gigabytes, and then dynamically add it to or dynamically link it to a Windows server or a Linux server running on the integrated X-Series technology. We've been able to remove storage from those servers, but we've had to turn the X-Series server off to remove storage. Well, now with the dynamic storage space unlink, we can dynamically remove storage while the server continues to run. Obviously, you know, the storage needs to be not being used. You know, it's like if you think of a disk drive, it's, you know, the disk isn't being used because removing it then would cause problems. So if the storage space is unused, we can dynamically unlink it or dynamically remove it. So this could be done for backup scenarios or for testing scenarios. This is going to be or is going to be a significant usability enhancement for our customers that have leveraged this technology. So in summary, on chart number 18, we have made several announcements on Tuesday. The new eServer i5 550, that four-way Power 5 server to provide tremendous growth and capabilities for our customers that want to run i5 OS as well as Linux and AIX. We have two new editions. We have the solution edition, specifically working with our solution providers to offer you an aggressive offering there, as well as the domino edition to offer you a competitively priced solution if you want to run domino on the 550. And then finally, we've enhanced our virtualization technologies by delivering IBM Director multi-platform with every i5 OS license. And then we've enhanced our integrated X-Series technology with a new adapter to attach those new X-Series servers, as well as announcing our Linux in support for the integrated X-Series solutions. So I'd like to thank you for tuning in today. I'll be on later to answer your questions. And at this time, I'd like to turn over to Don, who will talk to us more about printing.
Good morning. Thank you, Craig. My name is Don Nagy. I'm with the IBM Printing Systems Company located in Boulder, Colorado, and I specialize in I-Series print. And today, I'd like to start on chart number 22 to discuss briefly the agenda that we're going to talk about this morning. And one of the first bullet items is how PSD defines e-business communications in an application segment and what solutions we do provide. We'll talk about typical applications and show some examples and scenarios of where our solutions and products fit into the e-business segment. We'll talk about a product that we have available. It's been out for a couple of years now called InfoPrint Server. We'll also discuss how Client Access 400 integration can utilize these solutions more effectively. We'll briefly touch on web access integration, and we'll talk about some of the new V5R3 enhancements. We'll also dive into a bit of an introduction to another product that we offer called InfoPrint Designer that's been available now for about 4 years, and then we'll have a discussion and a Q&A session. So if we can get you to go ahead and move over to slide number 23, we'll talk a little bit about e-business output and how PSD's approach to e-business output can help enhance your customers' effectiveness and productivity. And we'll start with the traditional information methodology. It's been basically print and distribute, hard copy. And with the advent of the internet and email and web and with the popularity of that, we have the opportunity to change the traditional methodology of hard copy approach. When you talk about hard copy approach, we look at several factors with hard copy approaches. Pre-printed forms, the cost involved in pre-printed forms, the difficulties in changing content and delivery of those pre-printed forms and print and distribute methodologies. PSD's approach to this encompasses e-business communications, e-output, intelligent routing, which is a product of InfoPrint Server, e-delivery, and multiple channel distribution. And we're going to move over to slide number 24 now. Some of the application examples that will utilize these solutions are reengineering of documents and how those reports can be fully electronic, which can consolidate your printing. Advanced document requirements such as barcoding, logos, full color presentation can all be discussed in these application examples. Electronic report distribution via email and the web, very popular at this point in time with the advent of a lot of the web tools that we have available today. We'll discuss a little bit about electronic burst and bind, what PSD refers to as segmentation of e-output, and the ability to publish and archive iSeries output via the web or on your integrated file system on your iSeries. How we utilize the ad hoc electronic report delivery through the iSeries client access or access for the web products. And profiled delivery of iSeries output utilizing, again, intelligent routing, which is a product of InfoPrint Server. The next chart, page number 25 in your PDF, basically shows some examples or scenarios of where the solutions can be introduced. If your customer currently has output statements, reports, invoices, and it's inadequate, they need to change those documents. They want to improve the presentation, either the content, add logos, add some conditional processing in those particular output documentations. We provide a solution with InfoPrint Designer. InfoPrint Designer is our forms creation tool that gives you the ability to redesign your output with minimal application changes. And as I said earlier, this product has been out now for about 4 years and is very strong in the market. If we move over to chart number 26, we talk about ad hoc reports. And again, this is another advent of InfoPrint Server that allows customers to quickly take the output that's on their iSeries, create a PDF, and make that in a presentable format for viewing or printing on just about any printer that's available that either encompasses direct PDF printing or the use of a print driver. Chart number 27 gives us another example of electronic burst and bind, what we commonly refer to as segmentation. This is a very popular product of InfoPrint Server, and the scenario is pretty good at explaining what we're talking about here. The customer has an order entry form that they've re-engineered for the web. However, there's a portion of that output that they would prefer to email to a certain customer or archive outside of the entire document. And with indexing through DDS or through the create AFP data command available in InfoPrint Server, we can take that portion of that output, that page or half page, and intelligently route that portion of the document to a specific user, either through email, print it, fax it, or archive it, or make it available on the web. Now, chart number 28 talks a little bit about the electronic report distribution. Monthly sales reports are printed, manually separated, and mailed to regional offices, distribution centers, or managers. The customer would like to automatically distribute and send the relative portions of that document to specific email addresses. With the use of the segmentation function in InfoPrint Server in conjunction with the PDF transform, that portion of the document can be emailed, can be faxed, can be placed on the web, instead of having to manually post or mail or distribute that by hand, which is quite a time saver if you look at the business model of today. Now, chart number 29 in the PDF talks about intelligent routing. Intelligent routing, as you'll see on the logo on the right-hand side, gives us the ability to create, view, print, archive, and retrieve a single document. It also gives us the ability to segment that document. And perhaps we go into segmentation a little bit more in depth. Segmentation is, an example would be, we have a 100-page document, an invoice, that's multiple customers. And in the previous years, the methodology that was followed is that would have to be hand segmented, mailed, or delivered by hand. With intelligent routing, we give you the ability through a menu-driven interface to automate that process based on the indexing tags. So let's say out of a 100-page document, you want to email only the invoice or the sales receipt to your customer. That can be done automatically, and then archive the document on your IFS. So you can see how that may save your customers time and money. And we'll see that chart as we go into chart number 30, consolidating enterprise printing. Your customer may have an ERP or network application that generates PCL output, and they may be in a total PCL shop, HPs and distributed print, many different vendors. With InfoPrint Server, you can transform that PCL to IPDS AFP, which gives you more robust management, error recovery, and what we like to refer to as mission-critical print. You have total control over the print that's being driven to the printer via IPDS. If we switch over to chart number 31, this is where it really gets into the relevance. Return on investment, output reengineering. And what do we talk about there? Forms, the pre-printed forms. It costs the customer money to design the form. It costs the customer money to house the forms. When those forms are obsolete, they're usually destroyed, and the expense goes back into redesigning those forms again. And pre-printed forms have their limitations. It's very difficult to add new logos, change the address on those pre-printed forms. And that encompasses a large cost to the customer. We talk about printing, we talk about hardware, operating costs of that, maintenance, labor costs, and incremental costs with those forms. And, of course, when we look at distribution, labor costs, someone has to put the stamp on that envelope, fill it out, talk about postage and handling, and the amount of money of fax that's used. When we talk about soft or indirect costs, we talk about timeliness, customer and end-user satisfaction, business flexibility and processes, competitive edge and quality of the business communications. Now, chart 32 is basically a workflow worksheet that we've designed that you can refer back to and later when talking with your customers. To drill down on the chart on 32, the workflow worksheet, we talk about manual handling, the print and postage, and this is basically a timeline. How much time does it take your employees to manually handle these forms, to add the print and postage, the address on the envelope, what it costs in time to print and fax these documents, archiving, and we also give you some competitive information with the StreamServe products and e-distribution. But again, this chart is mainly for you to fall back on when discussing with your customers about the advent of e-business and what it's costing them in man hours and physical costs to deliver invoices, sales receipts, and so forth. When talking about the solutions that PSD provides, our main focus here is to reduce the handling that the customers have been doing now for quite some time. And that encompasses the pre-printed forms, the man hours, as we've seen on chart number 32. If we can move over to chart number 33, we'll talk about the V5R3 enhancements that we currently have available. One of the top enhancements that we have, starting with V5R2 Plus, was the advent of the InfoPrint Server Intelligent Routing. And this is where you can profile your output, segment the reports based on certain criteria of user information encompassed in the documents. It also gives you the PDF enhancements for full color and security through encryption. We talk about significant i5OS architecture enhancements. We talk about the advent of Unicode, TrueType, and OpenType fonts. And that's mainly for choice and compatibility. And compatibility would be more of font fidelity. We talk about full process color and direct import of web images such as TIFF, JPEG, bitmaps, and so forth. We utilize the functions of PSF, the Print Services Facility, which used to be known as Presentation Services Facility. We talk about the new support for iSeries output architecture elements that are already on the server that you have, and support for new IBM iSeries printers, such as the Cutsheet 2105, 2070, and the functionalities of those particular devices. InfoPrint Designer, again, is a product that PSD has had out now for about 4 years. That is your forms redesign package. And the major enhancement here is complex documents. And we talk about complex documents, we mean conditional processing, the ability for decisions to be made on the presentation of that document based on certain elements contained in the data of that document. And we also talk about full color, and that's mainly through PDF. Refreshed and extended iSeries printer line, color work group, mid-range cut sheet printers from the 20 page per minute on up to 105 and above. Chart number 34 goes into a little bit more about the intelligent routing functions of InfoPrint Server. And we say profiled multi-channel delivery of iSeries output, business output. The chart on the right kind of gives you a bit understanding of your spool file has multiple customer listings in that. Within InfoPrint Server, the portion on the right of that, some decisions are made based on the information contained inside of that SES spool file or that Star Alliance profile. And on the right-hand side, you can see how you have the choices to email, print, fax, archive, make available for the web is another portion that we should add to this, or a combination therein. Now, V5R2 uses electronic document segmentation. Again, we've talked about segmentation, but what does that really mean? And again, segmentation is the ability to pull a piece of your output out of the document and specifically address emailing, printing, faxing, archiving, or creation of a PDF file that will be placed on your IFS for later reference, either via customer or customer service reps. Now, the intelligent routing also enables document actions, as we've talked about, segmentation, web, emailing, faxing, and requeuing. But all this is automated based on a user interface menu that we have created within V5R2 and above. Multiple actions can be addressed per segment. And the development via the new simple user interface or the menu-driven application basically reduces the amount of programming. Prior to V5R2, we utilized an email exit program to get the full functions of intelligent routing. That's no longer the case. It's a simple menu-driven program that most end users can learn very quickly and utilize all the functions based within the intelligent routing scope. If we move over to chart number 35, we talk about some of the PDF enhancements. And again, InfoPrint Server is the product that we use to transform data streams, either from PCL PostScript to AFP, to transform TIFF, JPEG, bitmap, or other web-enabled images into AFP images, which makes it a part of your iSeries. It's now native iSeries information, so it's PCL, something you really can't utilize from your DDS programs or your existing RPG programs. The PDF enhancements that we've placed into V5R3 is more of the PDF encryption. We've revised the protection within the PDF encryption. We've also added full color, PDF color transform, which today would be used for viewing more so than printing, unless the customer has a full process color PDF capable printer. We do offer those in our 1220, 1357, and 1354 printers. But that doesn't hit home yet. We're looking for IPDS color printing, which gives you that that mission-critical type connection from your iSeries. We also talk about enhanced PDF presentation and control. Control over the PDF name, the location of the file on your integrated file system. Control over orientation, landscape, the size of the document, and reduction of the PDF size for bandwidth constraints. We also support 2D and Planet Press barcodes and are looking to enhance that barcode capabilities. Chart 36 talks a little bit more about intelligent routing and the PDF interface. And again, I draw your attention to the non-programmed end-user interface through the InfoPrint Server product. It's commands for output delivery. There's a data table where we can define targets and actions based on those targets, predictable data. We reduced the need for an end-user exit program, which was a stumbling block a few years ago that we have overcome with this interface. Now, with the five interfaces to PDF, we now have the printer file, PDF mapping object, which is that user interface. You can still utilize the user exit programs if you need more control over the PDF creation and segmentation. We have a direct interface from the iSeries Access, Vector Client Access 400, into the PDF functions. And we also offer two APIs to be able to handle that PDF conversion. Chart 37 gives you just a slight taste of what you'll see in the iSeries Client Access ad hoc conversion to PDF. It's a right-click function on the spool file, and it's circled in red is the convert to PDF. So you see how that's pretty easy to just get in there and decide where you want it to go. Chart number 38 gives you a little bit more functions. What do I do after the conversion to PDF? Do I send this as email? Do I save it in the IFS? Or do I send this to a specific output queue? And again, these are all ad hoc. If you want to be able to view this document quickly with all the additional functions such as your page segments or overlays, logos, and fonts, you can keep that font fidelity within the PDF. Chart number 39 gives you a brief taste of what the web interface looks like through client access for the web. And you can see over on the right or the left-hand side under print, we have output, We have internet printers. So it's fairly easy to utilize the PDF functions of InfoPrint Server with the client access products. If we flip over to chart number 40, this is what the web access looks like for PDF. You can see that the Super Sunseeds is your example of a document, a spool file, and what that would be presented like. And this is in a web interface. Chart number 41 talks a little bit more about iSeries output architecture and the extensions. Again, Unicode, draw your attention to TrueType and OpenType fonts. TTF and open fonts and the iSeries output is fairly new. It's on the 5.3 release. The fonts can reside in ASCII on the integrated file system, which is a very new function. The font installer, again, what most folks commonly refer to as the AFP font collection. And again, color for iSeries images and direct importing of the ASCII images. If we flip over to chart number 42, again, this is a bit more information about the InfoPrint Designer product. We'll talk about the overlay design, image design, and layout design editor. And on chart number 43, we give you the design interface for InfoPrint Designer. And when we talk about InfoPrint Designer on chart 44, you can see the segment or the schematic on how that works. And we'll just briefly go through that. Just kind of note that this InfoPrint Designer does run on a Windows platform, but it's directly connected with the iSeries interface. Chart 45 gives you a little bit more understanding of how InfoPrint Designer works. We create overlays, upload fonts, page segments are created, which are basically your logos, and we use the conditional processing through page defs and form defs design. Chart number 46 is additional slides. We'll go through 47. It'll be something that you can draw back on. It's a bit complicated, but it'll show all the different aspects of the iSeries output and what PSD has to offer. Again, InfoPrint Designer is our forms creation product. InfoPrint Server is our routing and PDF subsystem and data stream transformation. Chart number 48 basically gives you a summary of what we have to offer through the InfoPrint Server for iSeries product. And as the iSeries flow charts go from that point on, they basically go into more depth of what these products have to offer. So in summary, I'd just like to thank you for your time. If you have any questions, don't hesitate to give us a call at the IBM Printing Systems or visit our printing website. I'll hand this back over to Malcolm. Malcolm?
Thanks very much, Don. I think what we'll do now is we'll have a quick poll, which maybe, Matt, you could do, and then we'll go, Matt, to the telephone questions, please.
Absolutely. And now at this time, we will conduct a brief electronic survey. After I finish reading the entire question and all of the possible responses, please answer by firmly pressing the star key, followed by the number on your touchtone phone that corresponds to your choice. If you are using a speakerphone, we do ask that you please make sure that your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. For our first question of the day, we ask that you, on a scale of 1 to 4, how valuable did you find Don's chat? For very, very valuable, press star 1. For valuable, press star 2. For somewhat valuable, star 3. Or for no value, star 4. And we'll pause for a moment to allow everyone a chance to respond. For our second question, on a scale of 1 to 4, how valuable did you find Craig's chat? For very valuable, press star 1. For valuable, star 2. For somewhat valuable, star 3. Or star 4 for no value at all. And that does conclude our survey for today. We'd like to thank everyone for their participation, and now we'll move on to the most important part of today's presentation, and that's your questions. If you do have a question, we do ask that you please press the star key, followed by the digit 1 on your touchtone telephone at this time. Once again, for those participants who are using speakerphones, we do ask that you please use your mute function when not speaking to cut down on background noise. And once again, that is star 1 if you do have a question. We'll take our first question today from Diane Saunders.
I understand from reading an article that on the 550 and you get the Enterprise Edition, and if you activate all the processors, that you still only have to buy one Enterprise Enablement feature. Is this true?
That is correct. Yes, that is true. With the 550, if you bought the Enterprise Edition, it comes with one i5OS license, one Enterprise Enablement feature for 5250. And then on the second, third, and fourth processor, you have the option of buying an i5OS license, an i5OS license with an Enterprise Enablement feature. So it's your choice.
Well, now I'm confused again.
Basically, I said, yes, you're right.
I'd love to not be confused about that. But if I were to buy that with all four processors enabled, and it comes with, and I bought the one enablement feature, and it comes with one i5OS, and I buy three more, do I have to buy more than that one Enterprise Enablement feature?
No, you do not.
Okay. So it's only a one-time $100,000-something charge for that.
Well, and that price is built into that Enterprise Edition 550 that you will buy.
Okay. Okay,
yes.
Thank you.
You're right. Yep.
Next, we'll hear from Terry Milburn.
Yes, I work for a marketing company, and we send out marketing letters. Y'all made some good functionality changes to your PDF files. Is there any way to modify these PDF files to match our marketing program at the time?
When you say to modify, this is Don Nagy here. When you say to modify the PDF file, are you talking about once the spool file is converted to PDF?
Correct.
No, we don't have anything that offers the ability to modify the PDF. You would still use the Acrobat Distiller products for that. The focus of InfoPrint Server is to take the output file that you already have and convert that to PDF. So the suggestions are that changes are made prior to the transformation to PDF.
Okay, thank you.
Once that is a PDF, you're pretty much tied to the Adobe products.
Great. Thank you.
Before we do move on to our next question, I would just like to remind everyone that it is star one to ask a question. And we'll take our next question from Rick Flagler.
Yeah, I had a quick question for Dan on the InfoPrint stuff. That was great to see that's been enabled in the iNav, as I call it. But are there also commands behind the scenes? If I'm writing a CL program that produces a spool file and then we want to do something with that in a PDF format, are there commands that we can get through to do that as well?
Now, when you're talking about and this is Don Nagy here, when you're talking about the CL commands, are you talking about generating a native iSeries output such as SCS, IPDS, or AFPDS, or are you talking more towards the ASCII spool file creation?
I'm talking about a traditional business app that runs in the background like you described, maybe order entry acknowledgments.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've got them in a spool file in either SCS or IPDF or AFPDS. And then I want to take that and convert it to a PDF and then maybe email it to my customer. Will there be a command? In other words, it wouldn't be convenient to go out and have to navigate through menus. I'd like to do that all in batch.
You can. That's we've kept the email exit program available for that utilization, where you can create that email exit program and based on the triggers within that spool file, conditions on that, or you can set that up prior through the email mapping object. You get more automated function from the email exit program behind the scenes versus an ad hoc distribution methodology through the email mapping object itself or the user interface. It's really case-per-case basis on how you want to utilize that method. I have found that the mapping object itself is, in your particular situation, would probably be more useful than creating the email exit program. If you wanted to automate your process, again, that can be done easily and then changed easily, at will through the mapping object. Have you had a chance to see the demo for InfoPrint Server?
No, and we're but I'm hoping to.
On V5R2 and above, there's a just like with PSF, there's a 70-day grace period for that that product. And I would strongly suggest that to take a look at the mapping object. I think it's going to be in line with what you want to do, and then give you the ability to quickly change that as versus the creation of the email mapping program itself.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Mr. Haynes, there are no further questions from the phone lines. Did you perhaps get some submitted electronically?
Let me just take a look here a minute. Oh, yes, something has just come in. Just 1 second.
There's a 550 capacity on demand server.
I think that's one for you, Craig.
Yes, it is, Malcolm. Thanks. Yes, the 550 is a capacity on demand server. It ships from the factory with four processors. You can determine how many you want activated right away. And then the additional ones you can activate at your convenience, either permanently or temporarily. So, yes, it is.
Matt, any more phone calls?
Yes, we'll take our next question from Richard Norman.
Yes, on the PDF, by the way, first of all, thank you very much for the support of the JPEG, et cetera, images on the PDF output. It works wonderfully well.
Awesome.
On V5R3, my question has to do with how do I order and get the TrueType and the OpenType fonts? What do I need to do that, or is that included automatically, or what license program products do I need to buy? Or
The ability to get the fonts themselves is encompassed within InfoPrint Server. You can also utilize InfoPrint Designer to upload those fonts. If you have those fonts available from a PC application, you can upload those to your IFS and utilize those fonts that way. Again, through the InfoPrint font collection, my understanding is currently Unitype fonts and TrueType fonts aren't available today through that package. What I have seen is customers are utilizing the Windows-based fonts that they've uploaded to the IFS. Now, there is a discussion about offering those fonts through the InfoPrint font collection, if you will, or fonts for multiple platforms, but that's not available yet.
Okay.
So it's still free.
Why I couldn't find it.
Yeah, it's still free. You can upload those fonts to the IFS and utilize those on 5.3.
Thank you.
And we'll now take a question from Tanya Conrad.
Hi, this is my first citizen chat group, and I think this is great. I'm not too familiar with InfoPrint, and right now we have a workaround as far as distributing one report to 10 different users. I assume InfoPrint could handle something like that?
Absolutely. That's the basis of intelligent routing. How are you? What's your workaround?
We currently have a work file, just a database file, to where we enter the job name and then all the different records for each of the users with
okay.
the user profile. And I didn't program that myself, so I don't know internally how that works, but I know we do have a work file containing the information we need for the
Well, with the InfoPrint server, as I was talking about earlier, we have the email exit program, which can utilize that database file.
Okay, great.
The mapping object itself is hand-coded. It doesn't currently utilize database files for distribution. But that is the premise behind InfoPrint Server and intelligent routing, is to be able to take a single spool file with whatever number of pages you have in it, index that spool file, and distribute electronically groups or the entire spool file multiple times.
Okay, great. Thank you.
We'll now take a question from Donald Moody.
I want to ask a question about the InfoPrint Designer and the InfoPrint Server. They're two separate products?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Are they, like, packaged together and to buy if you want? You know, buy, they're not part of the Enterprise Edition or anything like that, right? They're separate products.
That's correct. They are separate products. InfoPrint Designer is the GUI interface into forms creation, overlay creation, page segment creation, which page segments are basically your logos and your images. And it also gives you the ability through the layout editor to take a spool file, an SES spool file, and reorient the information on that page without having to go back and redesign your program. InfoPrint Server is a totally separate product. It's tiered on processor speed from P10s on up and priced that way. InfoPrint Server is a data stream or an object transformation utility. It creates the PDF and gives you the mapping object. And the create AFP command, which if you're not familiar with indexing through DDS, would be an excellent alternative to index your spool file based on certain criteria or triggers within that data.
Do both of these have the 70-day grace period or just...
Well, with InfoPrint Server on 5.2, the product itself, the application, is part of the operating system, and you get the 70-day grace period. With InfoPrint Designer, we offer two different demo packages. One is a PC-based demo package, which doesn't give you any interface with the operating system itself. The second is the evaluation program, which, and I'll throw the email address out here. It's Bill Schaefer. Make sure I've got his email address correctly. But he should be able to get you the evaluation copy. And the evaluation copy is a time-bombed copy, if you will, of the InfoPrint Server product. For all that are attending, wcshaff@us.ibm.com. He's the product manager for the iSeries products. And he can get you an evaluation copy. It's usually, I think it's 30 days on the evaluation copy for InfoPrint Designer. But that would give you the full functionality of Designer.
One more question from Ann here with me.
On the intelligent routing part of the InfoPrint server, can it also monitor an out queue and just automatically distribute?
Yes, and the mapping object will, and that's the profiling aspect of InfoPrint Designer that I spoke about earlier. You can set up a profile based on output queue, username. If you're familiar with the APU, it's based off of that same methodology. Now, InfoPrint Server is not a output queue monitor program, but you can monitor an output queue for specific information or specific spool file triggers that will then start the segmentation or intelligent routing functions. Does that answer your question?
Yes, thank you.
Okay.
Next, we'll take a follow-up from Terry Milburn.
Yes, thank you. You mentioned that you're able to create PDF documents using InfoPrint Server. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. Can you also create PDF documents using InfoPrint Designer?
No. InfoPrint Server is the product that transforms the AFPDS, SCS, and IPDS spool files into PDF. InfoPrint Designer is the design package where you would create your overlays, your page segments, and add any conditional processing via PageDef and FormDef. So you kind of start with InfoPrint Designer and creating the presentation of your output, and then utilize the functions within InfoPrint Server or the inherent functions within iSeries, the client access, to transform that AFPDF spool file into PDF.
Okay, I got you. Okay,
so
thank you.
There are no further questions from the phone lines at this time. Mr. Haynes, were there any further questions submitted electronically?
No, I've had no more electronically. Let's just check one final time for the phones, please, Matt.
Okay. And once again, just as a final reminder to our phone audience, if you do have a question, please press star 1 on your touchtone telephone at this time. And Mr. Haynes, there are no further questions. I'll turn the conference back over to you.
Thank you very much. Well, thank you, Matt. Thank you, Craig. Thank you, Don. Thank you, everyone, for joining us today. Our next chat is in about a month's time. It's on September the 16th. And we've got another person from Rochester. This time it's Pat Boats, who I think many of you know. You know, he's our expert on security. He's in charge of security on iSeries. And he'll be talking about the new security function in i5OS, as well as what was made available in OS 400 version 5 release 2. So thank you, everyone, for being with us today, and we'll see you on September the 16th. Thanks.
And that does conclude today's teleconference. We would like to thank everyone for their participation and wish everyone a good day. And at this time, you may now disconnect.